SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
It is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Monday, the 8th of July, 2024. The Australian share market fell today by 0.8%. We'll have the details with Kyle Rodder from Capital.com in a few moments. But first, to the National Debt Helpline, where calls reached a post-pandemic high last financial year. For more, I spoke with Peter Gartland, the co-CEO of Financial Counselling Australia.
In the last 12 months until the end of June this year, we have received 145,000 calls from Australians in financial difficulty through the National Debt Helpline. In addition, we have received approximately 10,500 chat conversations as well. And those two put together show us that the calls and chats that we've received over the last 12 months are the highest numbers that we've received in the last 4 years.
What are the things that they're most worried about?
So a third of the calls are to do with housing stress, and that's either rental stress or it's, not surprisingly, mortgage stress. And what we found is that there's a new cohort of people that are ringing, which is those that are in employment, but clearly the cost of living and coupled with the interest rate rises have had a direct impact on people's ability to pay all the debts at the time that they're due.
And what can you tell me about the people that use the online chat service, for example, compared to those that take the phone call?
So the online chat service generally is used by those people aged between 18 and 39 years of age, whereas the phone calls tend to come from a slightly older cohort. And the issues that are presenting between the 18 and 39 age group through the chats is mostly to do with housing and then credit card payday loans and other general cost of living expenses.
And for those viewers and listeners that perhaps don't know much about the National Debt Helpline, what can you tell me about the role of the service?
It's a free service staffed by qualified and trained financial counsellors who are independent, and we give advice to Australians that are doing it tough financially. And because it is free, it is funded by the governments, and we are there to assist people as they navigate their way through through these really tough times. We also have good contacts within banks and credit unions, debt collectors and the like. And so what that means is hopefully we can direct people if they can help themselves or put them in touch with a face-to-face financial counsellor who can do more of the heavy lifting.
And you mentioned funding there. Am I right in thinking that there was an announcement semi-recently about extra funding for the service?
That's correct. The Australian government have invested additional funds to enable us to employ more financial counsellors to assist Australians because the numbers are increasing, and we're really pleased that that's taken place.
That's Peter Gartland there, the co-CEO of Financial Counselling Australia. And you can contact National Debt Helpline by calling 1-800-007-007 or reach its website at ndh.org.au.
Now, Market Day on the SBS On The Money podcast.
A soft start to the trading week with the S&P ASX 200 down today by 0.8% at 7,763. The loss is really coming in hard late in the afternoon. With the details, here is Kyle Rodder from Capital.com.
It was a soft start for the entire region, actually, and we did see a pretty meaningful sell-off in a lot of cyclical stocks. So the ASX 200 was mostly weighed down by the energy and materials sector. today, and it came despite that record high on Wall Street. So really, we didn't follow that, you know, fairly positive lead that we saw in the United States. There is a little bit on the horizon this week. We've got US inflation data, the latest rounds, the CPI figure. We've also got US earnings season basically kicking into higher gear, a lot of that political risk as well. So there was that sort of risk aversion right across Asia to start the week. We're also maybe dealing with the fallout of the French elections. So fairly negative on the ASX 200, fairly negative across Asia. And there's a level of caution to begin the week in global markets.
You mentioned the elections, which I'll talk to you about in a few moments, but we're seeing the Australian dollar at multi-year highs against a number of currencies, edging slowly towards 70 US cents. I think it's at a one-year high against the euro, a multi-decade high against the Japanese yen, for example. Run us through your thoughts. Why and just how high can the Aussie go?
Well, I mean, it's almost entirely interest rate differentials because commodity prices, which, you know, is often the marginal driver of the Australian dollar, is really not having much of an impact. The China narrative isn't a very strong one either. So first and foremost, it's the expectation now that we'll get rate cuts in the United States by the end of the year after the employment data that we got on Friday night. The markets are pricing that we'll get two cuts this year, the first which might come in September. And it's happening in a backdrop in Australia where there's still at the margins some level of, well, fears, if not sort of expectations, that the RBA will have to keep things steady or even may have to raise interest rates, that maybe the cash rate for a long time hasn't been high enough, and therefore we won't be in the same position to be able to lower interest rates. So if you, again, contrast it with major economies around the world, chiefly the United States, there is that divergence in interest rate policy. But, you know, we've already seen the ECB, we've already seen the Bank of Canada, a couple of other G10 central banks cutting interest rates. So that's supporting the Aussie at the moment. It's an interest rates differential story. And I mean, if the RBA ends up hiking interest rates, I mean, 70 cents can come into view very, very quickly. Of course, it'll depend on the data here as well.
You mentioned the elections overseas. To what impact are they having on the market?
Fairly meaningful. We'll get a better sense when European trade gets underway to start the week. But effectively, the French election was basically the opposite outcome as in terms of what the markets were expecting, and still raises some fears that even though this isn't the right-wing party, Eurosceptic right-wing party, that will control French parliament, it's a relatively Eurosceptic French left-wing coalition with incredibly bold fiscal policies, very progressive taxation and potentially significant spending that is going to control the National Assembly. So that's rattled investors' nerves. It's hard to say at the moment whether it's going to be a very significant thing for European markets, the French stock index in particular, but it was certainly a surprise. And now it does bring with it some fairly high levels of risk around political stability within the European Union, as well as future French fiscal policy.
Corporate news, anything you're keeping an eye on today?
Yeah, the Rex deal was fairly significant, Rex Minerals, mostly because it tells me two things in particular, and it comes off almost this Liontown Resources story that we had last week as well, which is very different in its nature, but sort of signals a consolidation within the material space at the moment, but more importantly in the long run, a desire from corporates to be able to secure long-term supply of critical minerals. And despite the fact that we've seen fairly significant downside in critical mineral prices recently, a lot of businesses appear to be sort of using that as an opportunity to prepare for the next upswing in prices. And again, secure supply, consolidate their businesses, and make sure that they're in the right position to deal with this sort of long-term and secular bull market. So very, very interesting. Rex was up 60% today off the back of that. It is a relatively small stock, but it's that kind of corporate maneuvering happening in the mineral space, material space, that makes things quite interesting, despite the fact that it's been a perennial underperformer.
And of course, you're referring to that $400 million bid for the company. And finally, where do you see the opportunities for investors at the moment?
Well, really the momentum's behind these rate cuts expectations in the United States, and it's this kind of outperformance of growth technology shares still in an environment, especially in the United States, where it appears we're going to see reasonably strong earnings growth, especially in those sectors which are driving that kind of alpha or outperformance in the market. Conversely, we're seeing a real underperformance in value stocks, cyclicality in particular. There's really a bit of a dichotomy going on here, is that if we do get these rate cuts, which could support some of those areas of the market which are sensitive to interest rates and multiple expansion, get boosted valuations when rate cuts, that's only because there could be potentially some slowing down going on in the global economy, much more synchronized now, which would be not so good for those value-oriented cyclical names in the market. Of course, the ASX is heavily weighted towards those. So I think that's the dynamic at the moment. That's where the outperformance is coming. And it's just seeing whether the data continues to support the need for rate cuts around the world as to whether those trends persist.
That's Kyle Rotter there from Capital.com.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
Why do people want to be at work? To feel heard, appreciated, part of something, and to know there's a career path for everyone. Inclusive workplaces are linked to increased innovation, productivity, and employee satisfaction. Make your organization a place where people want to be. For inclusion and diversity training, visit inclusion-program.com.au.